Josh and Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Chair Amason, members of the board, State Forester Doherty. My name is Josh Bernard. I serve as the Deputy Chief for Private Forest Division. Joining me today is Jennifer Weichel, our division biologist. Today, we'll provide an overview of where we've been, the components of the Division 680 rules that we still need to address, and what we're planning to do to help you make those decisions. To start us off, I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer.
All right. Thank you, Josh. So just as a reminder of where we've been in this process, here's a slide that should look familiar to you from past presentations. This project was kicked off in began in June in 2016 when the board received a petition to initiate rulemaking for marble murrelets under Forest Practices Act. And we officially received the direction to work on this project in November of 2016. Since that time, we have given you a review of the petition, the draft technical report on marble murrelets. We conducted an expert review of that report. And then at the last meeting that we spoke with you in April, we gave you the final technical report, which was approved by the board, which leads us to where we are today, which is to describe our plan for our decision-making process moving forward. Back to Josh.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer. So just quickly refreshing back to April when we were here last, we basically, as part of the next steps, we said we would return with a plan for this next phase, which would include what did the next set of decisions look like. We would establish a process for decision making, and we determine what stakeholder involvement looks like for that process. So following up on that, we started with the piece, what are the next set of decisions? So to set that framework, we went back to the Division 680 rules, and Division 680 directs us to identify the resource site, identify forest practices that conflict with the resource site, and evaluate the consequences of those conflicts, determine the protection requirements for resource sites, and determine any exceptions criteria. So the tech report identified the forest practices that conflict with resource sites and the consequences. It also identified a range of options for the definition of a resource site and protection requirements. However, it did not identify a specific option for the resource site or the protection strategy. So the next decision that will require board input will be to define the resource site for marble murrelets and the corresponding protection strategies for the resource site. So beginning with the end in mind, we looked at the purpose and goals of the Division 665 rules for threatened and endangered species, which is the division where rules for this process will be housed. The purpose and protection goal of Division 665 rules do provide some high-level sideboards. And they're paraphrased for you here on the slide, and it's also in the handout materials. So the purpose of Rule Division 629-665 states that they shall be known as the Specified Resource Site Protection Rules. These rules provide a protection goal, describe the duties of the state forester, landowner, timber owner, and operator, and outline protection for sensitive bird nesting, roosting, and watering sites, threatened and endangered fish and wildlife species that use resource sites on forest land, and biological sites are ecologically and scientifically significant and significant wetlands on forests. So that's typically what's housed in our Division 665 rules. It goes on to state that the protection goal, which is summarized here on the slide as well, the goal of the resource site protection is to ensure the forest practices do not lead to resource site destruction, abandonment, or reduced productivity. A resource site shall receive protection when the state forester determines it's an active resource site and proposed forest practices conflict with the resource site. So in general, that's the full text of the purpose and the protection goal. And we thought those would serve as good high-level sideboards for this process going forward. So by taking the purpose and protection goal, and recognizing the broad range of options identified in the tech report, we settled on a matrix approach to set the stage for collecting input and making decisions. So our plan would be to start by populating this matrix with the current range of approaches identified in the technical report. We would use this matrix to seek input from the groups who have been engaged in this process so far. The matrix is set up to collect input on both the resource site and the protection strategies together. And also a note back to the staff report here is this matrix does allow for both regulatory and voluntary approaches. On the last slide, I mentioned seeking input from groups that have been interested in the process so far. A little more detail on what that looks like is we plan to seek input on the range of options that would be populated in the matrix from both tribal governments and stakeholders through individual meetings with each group. The goal of the work would be to gather each group's preferred options, why they may prefer a particular option, and capture any other common threads of agreement or disagreement amongst those groups. To help with that work, we would plan to hire a third-party facilitator to help with this process. The facilitator would work with staff to develop questions, host meetings, and summarize any input that we can achieve from that process. The facilitator will also work with the department to prepare a report, which would be submitted to you all at a future meeting date. So by collecting this information, we would hope that it'd be easier to narrow the range of options and inform decision-making as we identify the resource site and protection strategies. Pause there for a second, see if there's any questions, and then I can shift to the time. Yes.
Josh, just a quick, could you go back a slide?
Yes.
Maybe to the protection goal, just a point of clarification, if you could, please. Resource site destruction, abandonment, or reduced productivity. So reduced productivity would suggest that there is protection over a period of time. Is there an implied period of time over which that protection would occur to maintain productivity?
So thanks for that question. What I would use as an example is we have, that's been addressed by species for the species we already have rules for. So for example, for the osprey, it defines an active site as one that has been used over a 5-year period. And then if it's not been used in 5 years, it's considered an abandoned resource site. So you're correct, it does imply over a period of time for how long a site is protected. So when we get to that phase for this project, that's one of the things that we're going to have to define is what is active versus abandoned for Marble Murrelet resource sites.
Back another couple of slides where you were, you had the four potential next set of decisions. I don't know if I was just daydreaming or what, but I didn't catch why A and C are in our next set, but B and D are not.
So, apologies if I went through that too quickly. So I would say right now the technical report addresses B. A and C right now, the technical report identifies a range, but it doesn't narrow it to a specific option for either the resource site or the protection strategy. So that's really the next step that we need to get to. And I would say D would follow with that once we've identified those. So, yeah.
Another question. It's kind of a question for you and Peter, I guess. Probably in January, we're going to look at a work plan, look at these timelines. Are we going to discuss this timeline and how this fits into the rest of the workload for the department? Murrelet, did you hear me?
Yeah, I've been paying attention.
Okay.
And so the work plans will consist of sort of two parts. One is each work plan has ongoing tasks. And so I believe for private forest, the two big ones in front of the board are the Marble Murrelet rulemaking and the Siskiyou study. And so that timeline, we have board direction to continue that work. That'll be included in the work plans, and a schedule for that would be mapped out in the work plan.
So we would have a chance to have a conversation about that in January. As to our priorities moving forward?
Yes. Right. So the other thing it will, and we're still kind of sorting this out, what would be useful, because there's a bunch of new topics that have been suggested. Some of them might be partially covered in things that are in the bin, like the multi-species approach to specified resource site sections been on that work plan for a while, looking at just re-looking at these Division 680 rules and saying, is this a the best approach moving forward. And so, but other ones would be new. And so we're trying to figure out, well, we can't really make a decision on those, which ones to move forward and propose to schedule till we get a sense of the priorities that you have. So in January, we'll be asking you, you know, not only the main thing will be about what are the priorities for the work going forward in terms of, you know, how much additional capacity do we have to move work forward, and what are the board priorities for what things we should focus on. Once we have that information from January, then we can begin to develop a plan and a schedule for beginning to gather information, bring the relevant information to the board, and begin to move forward on topics that are of a high priority. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. And any other questions on that sort of agenda setting process?
All right. So the other piece that we included in the packet of materials was an overview of what this might look like time-wise. So if some of this text is a little bit hard to read, it's included in the handout. But if you walk through this, the start of this timeline here is November 2019. It's where we sit today. So we would proceed from there, basically looking at trying to obtain a facilitator to help us with this process. Take us 1 to 3 months, work with that facilitator once we've acquired them to convene some meetings, figuring that would take a little bit of time. And then we'd meet with those focus groups. It may take 3 to 6 months to meet with the number of folks that have been engaged in this process so far. We would work with that facilitator, pull that package back together, and then with the normal lead time it would take us to work on stuff and prepare things for a future board meeting. If you total all those timelines, it's somewhere in the range of 10 to 16 months before we'd be back here before the board with that summary report of that process. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what that looks like, or what we're envisioning based on what we know today.
Tom?
Yes.
Just as an observation, in light of the discussions we had earlier about fire suppression capacity and sustainability, that main big orange block looks like it's over the summer, where you guys are likely to be impacted on the militia. Just no feedback, just an observation to everybody involved that that's a potential impact on work timing.
Yes, thank you for that. So that's really all we had. And any other questions?
I am not seeing any additional questions. Okay. To that point, and I guess just one question. So maybe this is a follow-up, or at least related to Cindy's question. You've got you know, several of these time frames are, you know, there's 1 to 3 months, or 3 to 6 months, or 2 to 3 months. How will that get clarified? At what point will those be narrowed down in terms of expectations of time? Because if it's quicker, then it's less likely to run into the problem that you were describing. But what are the variables that will cause that to be one number as opposed to another?
Sure. I guess the way we're viewing that is those are estimates at this time frame as we start out. If it only takes us, you know, in the next month, we can acquire a facilitator, we would go ahead and move forward with the rest of that work. We would complete each phase as quickly as possible. So it'd be more, we'd be moving along with it. These are just estimated ranges to give you kind of a vision of when we might return to you all with that report.
I don't know how to ask this, but how will this impact moving forward with trying to get an HCP? Will this help it? Is it redundancy work that we'll be doing, or?
Well,
or maybe a clarifying question. You're referring to the HCP effort for state forests?
State forests, yes.
Yeah. So the separate efforts.
I also had a question after thinking about this a bit more. On the chart just before, the one with the timeline. So, the timeline, Marble Merlot, next steps, yep, that one.
So you come back to the board with a report based upon the stakeholder input. What's the next step after that?
So ideally, what we would have is enough information to narrow the range to two or three or four options. As part of that process, as I noted, we would be asking folks why they may prefer a particular option. So thinking when we return to you, depending on how concise or particular that information is, we would be looking to either narrow the range further. So if there was interest in further analysis by us, we have a smaller package to look at. Or depending on the level of information we feel have at that point, it may be that we move forward towards a decision around the resource site. But there will be further steps beyond that final phase. It's really to bring back the report and show you all what we've collected from stakeholders at that point.
So quick follow-up, will there be a staff recommendation as to what constitutes a resource site then? Or is that something that we do without staff recommendation?
I guess I would say, ultimately, we'd like to see where we end up at the end of this work. Okay. And if there's something clear that pops out from our stakeholder input, then we may come back to you with a recommendation at that time. Otherwise, it may be that we need to do some additional work and analysis to bring to you a suite of possibilities, in which case we have a range of options for a board decision, which we'd give a recommendation at that time for that range.
That's
how I'm envisioning.
Good. Thank you both.
And I guess I would comment to that point, there are further steps. You know, after we get to that point and figure out what the resource site is, there's different considerations, I believe, that have been presented on earlier in this process, such as the 527-714 analysis and those things that we go through for rules. So.
And we do have some public testimony on this, so you'll stick around in case we need to follow up with you. Srishti Kamal.
Chair Emerson and members of the Board of Forestry, for the record, my name is Srishti Kamal, and I'm the Senior Representative for Defenders of Wildlife. Defenders is a national wildlife conservation organization that focuses on protecting imperiled species and their habitat. Marble murrelet is one of our focal species and an imperiled species in Oregon, which brings me to this meeting. I'll not take too much of your time today, but I just wanted to mention that firstly, we really do appreciate the effort from the Department of Forestry staff to keep us involved and engaged in this process. Especially that they organized sort of a stakeholder check-in call with us and walked us through this process to familiarize us with the steps. So we really do appreciate that. And as the stakeholder process unfolds, I'm hopeful that the process continues to be as inclusive and there is opportunity not only to assess the matrix that the staff members presented today, but also have an opportunity to include additional inputs if there is a necessity for that based on current and available science. Again, because we are talking about an imperiled species here, precautionary approach is always advised for wildlife conservation because once a species is lost, it's next to impossible to revive it back. So I'm hoping that this process has a precautionary approach at its core and will provide protection beyond just voluntary tools to a wider functional and scientifically acceptable definition of habitat use for the species. Thank you.
Thank you. So any further questions on this item then? Okay. Thanks,